Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Step back from the big news now. Man, isn't this a great century? You can just search for anything online. I mean, the internet has been described as the collective brain of humanity, right? And if that's so, there's been an important chunk of gray matter actually missing from that brain until now.
Wenn ihr den Rundfunk hört, so denkt auch daran, wie die Menschen in den Besitz.
Oh, you don't recognize that voice? Well, this week, the archive of manuscripts, letters, theoretical musings, and personal correspondence of one Professor Albert Einstein went online. More than 80,000 pages of material owned by the Hebrew University of Jerusalem are now digitized and available on the web. Up until now, only 900 pages of the brilliant scientist's legacy were available to the public. Imagine searching the brain of Albert Einstein. Well, you'll still have to imagine that. This archive contains a lot of very worldly materials, in addition to some very sophisticated physics and cosmology. And Greg Good joins us, director of the Center for the History of Physics at the American Institute of Physics. Greg, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So what are you dying to see in this archive, and how will, say, high school physics students be able to use it in some way?
Well, I think the most important thing is the behind-the-scenes Albert Einstein. Yeah, you'll be able to read the letters between him and people who he collaborated with or with members of his family and his friends. And I think that that's really the best thing coming from this. For the high school physics student, it might overwhelm them a little bit, especially since most of it is going to be in German.
Ah, well, then a high school German student. There you go. Greg Good is the director of the Center for the History of Physics at the American Institute of Physics. For physicists and scholars, what's the most important material that's going to be available to them now?
Well, now they'll be able to see the manuscripts, the different drafts that Einstein did before he published works. You know, when we look at the published materials, we only get to see the finished products. And the most interesting thing is how a scientist gets to that finished product, what kinds of questions they were asking, what kinds of confusions they may have been going through on the way.
And the way we do physics today is so much different from the way Albert Einstein did it in the early years of the 20th century. Give us a sense of how different they are.
Well, you know, it's important to know that to remember that Einstein was a theoretical physicist. And when we think about physics, we often think about the more practical things that have come out of it. So when you look into the materials of Albert Einstein, you're looking at a very mathematical brain at work. And that's something that we don't often get to glimpse.
And, you know, in Einstein's time, it really represented a swing away from the experimental physicists of, say, the Cavendish group and the development of the Bohr model into a much more theoretical kind of development right out on the cutting edge of physics. And now with the supercollider, we're shifting back to the experimental physicists as well, with plenty of theoretical folks in there.
Right.
How do you think Einstein would relate to all of the physics crew these days?
Oh, I think he would do just fine. He would be very interested in the results that they're getting. The work over the last 6 months that has gained so much attention on the speed of neutrinos, he would be sitting back relishing what's going on at the labs in Switzerland and France.
Now, what in this archives gives us some insight into the fellow, you know, with his tongue sticking out in that famous picture that everybody passes around on the internet way before this database was put online? You know, Einstein the man.
Einstein the man was involved in all kinds of activities outside of his physics, even back in his youth. He worked in the patent office in Switzerland. Switzerland. He lazed around the lake with his friends talking about mathematics, and he enjoyed music. He played the violin very well. So in these manuscripts, you'll be able to see Einstein interacting with the people who were close to him in his life.
Now, he also seemed to have been something of a ladies' man. Any evidence of that in this archive?
Well, I haven't gone looking for it, but typically the evidence that we have is preserved in an archive. And part of the idea of an archive is to give a complete picture of the person. So those materials, too, I would imagine, are going to be there.
How political was Albert Einstein? Of course, it's well known that he was part of the impetus of the U.S. to develop the Manhattan Project and a nuclear bomb to possibly compete with Germany. And then once that happened, he, of course, embraced the anti-nuclear agenda.
That's right. And he had a political side to him going back at least into the 19-teens and 1920s, but it really came to the fore after World War II. He did write that famous letter at the request of some of his physicist colleagues to FDR, but after the war he became a very vocal advocate of a single world government and certainly was a supporter of the founding of the State of Israel and the founding of the United Nations.
Many of the biographers of Einstein have noted that he would take long walks with many individuals who had the privilege of knowing him in close quarters, Kurt Gödel, the mathematician, being one of them. With this database online now, can you imagine having a little bit of that experience vicariously yourself, Greg Good?
It would be wonderful to do that, yeah. Certainly, you know, and not just me, but really the most important part of an archive like this going online is that it widens the access beyond scholars. Scholars have had access to the papers themselves, but they had to travel to Israel to use those papers. And now anyone who's interested in Einstein can go in and read these materials online. It's really a wonderful thing.
Well, Einstein quotes and possibly in German or translated, soon to be appearing in a hip-hop lyric in your playlist, Greg Good. Thanks so much.
That's right.
Samplable now. 80,000 pages of Albert Einstein's archives now online. That's Greg Good, director of the Center for the History of Physics at the American Institute of Physics. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, thanks a lot, John. Goodbye.